25 minutes of technical difficulties. Here we are on March 13th, 2023, with shockingly only our season. Ira, how you doing?
I'm good. I think, you know, I've come a long way since last night. I was kind of in the dumpster, you know, after the brackets were announced, but that was new brackets to focus on.
So, well, I was gonna say that's mighty confusing for probably some listeners here. What's really going on in our mind? But yeah, we're, you know, the Bye Boys hosting the podcast. You know, probably our first time ever as the 1-2 punch in the league, I would imagine.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's got to be a first for us. I guess you've had a couple of second place finishes, I think, in your day. So
I think I won first place regular season too, where I was like really good and lost in the final. But like back in, I want to say 2000, maybe like the 2009 season. But
yeah, you were 2008. You were in the finals, so you probably got a bye that time. But yeah, I'm not really a big bye guy myself. So until recent years, I guess.
So yeah, you haven't earned it, or are you saying you just don't enjoy being in that position?
No, I mean, typically it's been a struggle to reach that height, I'd say, for me. Yeah, I just think in the past I haven't been able to have the same sort of draft day steals, probably. So, you know, I had to fight my way to make the playoffs in most seasons. But, you know, I'd say league competitive, this isn't quite the same as it used to be. So a little easier to go around.
We'll dive into all that. But, you know, I've actually begged Ira. Let's start with, you know, what's more pressing on our minds. Since we do have, the two of us do have an easy week up ahead here. Just going to poach some guys off the waiver wire and all that. Mostly, but let's talk about what's more recently on our mind, and that's Rutgers not making the NCAA tournament.
Oof, yeah, how the mighty have fallen. I don't know. It's crazy when you got 107 out of 112 of the finest bracketologists in all the land say Rutgers is in, and you know, a few old dudes on the committee say otherwise, and yeah, it was a gut punch. Just didn't see it coming.
I found it was interesting yesterday. I feel like I was a little bit pessimistic going to the day, and you were a little bit optimistic. And even like a week or two ago, you were like pretty down, like that they were not going to make it. And then you had a pretty big mental turnaround during the Big Ten tournament that everything was going to be good. And I was kind of still on the fence a little bit.
You took it pretty hard yesterday.
I was a little surprised. Not going to lie.
I still have the perspective, you know, just every appearance is still cherished. You know, that's how, that's where my mindset still is of this team. And I also just feel like, I mean, this team has been inconsistent, and, you know, I doubt they're making the Final Four, but at the same time, you know, you just have to get lucky for a couple weeks. It's like, I don't think it's so unheard of, especially in like this era of college basketball where, you know, you're not going up against that much elite NBA talent that's really going to stop you from ever having a chance, you know. So if you get hot from the field, get some decent foul calls, you know, your team can find the right path to, you know, the Elite Eight, Final Four. It's you know, and this would have been Rutgers' third straight time. So, and you know, the first go around a couple of years ago, we were so close to being a Sweet 16 team, and you know, who could have been even more than that. So yeah, I just would have liked to have a chance.
And not to mention, Caleb McConnell's only good offensively in the NCAA tournament. So like, you just imagine he would have really taken off this year, and as a fifth year senior. But how are you feeling today? I know yesterday you were like pretty upset at the world. I think, have you come to grips with like why they didn't make it, or the more you're reading, the more you're feeling like they just got jobbed?
No, I mean I agree with like our, I think like before, you know, we got into like the Big Ten tournament, I was kind of agreeing with the mindset, you know, like, yeah, this team had dropped the ball. Yeah, I'd rather the committee choose teams that are hot, you know, have a little more hype to them. I mean, Rutgers did some very good things in, you know, whatever, the second, third quarter of their season. But, you know, that's not what people care about at this point. I mean, people are always going to care about the more recent performance. So, you know, if Rutgers didn't get in, I mean, you can't argue that hard against it.
Yeah,
I had some tough losses, but every team has tough losses. Every team has injuries. So I think that's just part of the game.
And what is kind of bothering me more today, because yesterday I think I took it pretty well, but the more I'm reading today, it's like they seem to really, you know, they're saying here's what we considered, and then they're kind of like flipping the script for like Rutgers, basically. Like they're like, oh, you know, we consider the whole resume, and then, but with Rutgers, they've really fallen off, since Moat Mag's injury. And, like, I mean, look, I watched the games. They definitely looked like a worse team since his injury. And you know, you and I had a pretty long argument last night about the importance of Mag to the team. But regardless, they definitely, you know, every indication showed they played worse since his injury on both sides of the ball. And, you know, but look, if you're going to evaluate the entire performance, they had a lot more success against quad one teams than the teams that got in ahead of them. Nevada, I think, had one quad one win. NC State had one quad one win. And Rutgers had one quad one win after Moat Mag's injury. I think it's a hard job for the committee. Like, I think they are feeling pressure that, like, we shouldn't just let the you know, all these major conferences steamroll because they're going to inherently have teams a higher net in all of this, right? So one of these teams had, I read, 18, like, quad one chances, and, you know, they won five games. Like, basically Rutgers was at least comparable with all these teams. They had more good wins. Yeah, so valuing things like bad losses over that seems pretty ridiculous, especially when the whole point of the NCAA tournament is to have the good wins, not to avoid the bad losses, because you're not going to be playing bad teams. And then the flip side of that is a real heavy weighting on this out-of-conference schedule, which, look, we all know Rutgers does not schedule the strongest out-of-conference slate. But is it really, you know, had they lost to Gonzaga, who they tried scheduling over Temple, are you telling me that now they're an NCAA tournament team? Is that really, like, the difference here? Especially when these bad teams are barely scheduling quad one teams out of conference, they're not playing quad one teams in conference. Like, why are we comparing Rutgers' smaller out of conference slate to their, you know, their massive conference schedule that every night is a real challenge? So those are the things that kind of grinded my gears a little bit. But, you know, again, I will reiterate, if just going by the eye test in the last month or two, they do not look like a fun team. Especially given that the committee seems to be ignoring these conference tournaments where Rutgers seem to finally turn the leaf. If they turned a new leaf over in that Minnesota game or the Northwestern game, I think the committee might be looking at them a little bit differently.
Is that actually the case? Have they said that they don't really count the conference tournaments for much value? Or?
Yeah, they really, unless it's an exceptional situation, they really try to ignore it. Part of that is because they do all their work. Like, they begin doing the seedings as the conference tournaments are going on. Like, I think they started all Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. So I think they're just, like, I think the way they see it, you can't take too much into this. In a lot of cases, you're playing a team for the third time, which everyone knows it's really hard to win against the same team in college basketball three times in a season. So, like, how much do you value that? You know, like if a bubble team was going to go up, if Penn State went against Rutgers for a third time in the tournament, you would expect Penn State to win. You wouldn't necessarily count it as a positive in the resume. You know, you're on a neutral site. It's back-to-back-to-back games. It's not really the same as any other setting throughout the year. It is hard to compare. So I do understand not wading too much into these conference tournaments. And I think next year we're going to see the narrative go away of the win and in concept, you know, in conference tournaments.
Look, even, like, talking about the schedule, I mean, they went, like, 19-14. And like you said, I mean, not a great record. And like you said, I mean, if you take out, like, a Temple loss and then, you know, put in, like, a Baylor loss or something, like, I don't really see that making much of a difference for them. I mean, I think it's just, like, it's a convenient excuse to say Rutgers had, you know, four bad losses. And, you know, other teams only had two bad losses. So it's an easy out. But this team did enough wrong. Big Ten's a bad enough conference, you know, where, you know, maybe they can prove some people wrong in the tournament. Probably not. But, you know, until the conference's reputation changes, you know, Rutgers play 500 ball in the Big Ten's going to be a tough weight to carry.
And look, despite this, I don't even know that Pikel's scheduling philosophy is going to change much, especially with UCLA and USC coming in. That's another few tough games on the slate every year in conference. I don't think he's going to want to make that out of conference schedule so you know, light. That said, this season's a good case for, like, did we really get a lot of value out of playing these easy teams in the non-conference? Despite having lots and lots of minutes for the young guys and lesser-used players to develop, I don't know that any of them really developed much in season this year. So, like, maybe you're just better off. You know, I think at least you swap out one or two of these lighter games, like the UMass Lowells, you know, your Lafayette or Lehigh games. swap one or two of those out, put in one of these, you know, 3-day weekend tournaments where you have a few Power Five teams. And, you know, Providence seems to be in around the same spot as Rutgers. They played in a tournament like that. I just think teams are getting more benefit out of those little tournaments. I know Pikeville doesn't want to play over Thanksgiving. You can play in one of these tournaments before Thanksgiving. Maryland played in two outside of Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, just find some neutral site action that will, you know, if you got to
got the schedule figured out, you know?
If Ira could put together a crazy spreadsheet for fantasy basketball, I think Steve Pikeville could figure out the very easy reverse engineering of the net. So,
I don't think we have to get more complicated. Teams got to do better, and you know they have the recruits coming. And I mean, I don't know. Pikeville doesn't want to use his young guys anyway until he has to. I mean, he has to. His hand has to be forced. He's not going to do it willingly. But whatever. On to the NIT. Rutgers basketball is in much better shape than it's been in all of our lives. So, you know, we at least have that to cherish for now.
I agree. If they come out and like look like they're trying to play in this game on Tuesday, I would go to a game if the timing works out. So I can't make it tomorrow. It's just not going to work. But I'd go to a game. I actually went to the NIT game. It may have been against Hofstra many years ago. In the year that wound up being the NIT finals run. So that would have been 2004, I think, when Doobie was a freshman. Irvay was still on the team. I went to a few games. There's a play ingrained in me from the first round of the NIT that was like an all-time Doobie threw an alley-oop from half court to Adrian Hill. So like the NIT can be fun, even when there's higher expectations going in. Granted, I don't think I had higher expectations at the beginning of the season. You definitely did not. I think we both thought this would be a rebuilding year. So if it means more Wolf and more Derek Simpson and we get to see them grow a little bit. Hopefully Pikeville is not stupid.
Time to develop them.
He has moved away from like Andre Hyatt, it seems like, for the last two games. I think after his failure to dribble up court against Minnesota, he's kind of been cut from the rotation, which, by the way, to me, still, had he dribbled over half court, I think we're not having this conversation. But, it's hard for the committee to reject a 20-win Big Ten team. It just is. Hopefully he plays the young guys in this, and we get some good stuff to look forward to for next year.
Yeah, they'll be back. They'll be back. But yeah, for now, it is what it is. Another notable collapse for Rutgers basketball. But we were going to have this podcast a little sooner, Paul, if I recall. I think, but unfortunately, I think you got cold feet and, you know, decided, you know, you couldn't handle staring me in the face as the number one seed in, especially the big boy years. Would you like to give the podcast an update on what happened to you at the tryouts?
So about 2 weeks ago, Ira and Leanna were supposed to come over for some Shabbat karaoke. Both of those things, we'll see, questionable whether they would have happened. But and I started feeling pretty bad Thursday night. I was watching the Rutgers-Nebraska game, which you know, I thought it could have just been that at first. Just watching that game made me sick. I had some heart, not heart, but like the day. And around dinner time, I kind of laid down in bed. 9 o'clock during the game, I just started vomiting every 20 minutes to half hour from like 9 p.m. to 3:30 in the morning. And I resumed a little bit the next morning. And I went to the hospital. The only, you know, I still think you probably think I was faking it to get out of dinner plans or whatever. But I was in the hospital for the entire day Friday. They kind of gave me a BSE diagnosis, but I got on the mend pretty quickly, I'd say. I had to drink all liquid diet for that whole weekend, and
it took a little bit of time to come back. It took
2 weeks to come back, basically. It was not so fun being in the hospital.
Yeah, it's quite the journey. So you would say this was a similar puking experience to like what you were dealing with when in Vegas, or would we?
No, this is. I've never experienced something like this. Like it was kind of like uncontrollable and like gut wrenching, and like there were colors coming up towards the end because I had nothing inside me anymore. The Vegas thing was like more of a other. And like that was like it didn't feel good, but like I'd felt something like it before. It was manageable. This was like really, really bad. And like I was short of breath also, which is pretty scary. I kind of thought I was having a heart attack at one point. Fortunately, everything's good with the heart. I can continue eating fast food, you know, priorities. Because that obviously crossed my mind multiple times over that day that I was done with fast food forever. But then, yeah, I was like, the whole thing made me super dehydrated. I got like 4 bags of fluid in the hospital.
It's a test.
Nothing like they think it was just an infection. It could also be this family thing that I have that causes like swelling and sometimes internal swelling. Garrett and I actually did a paper on it for our anatomy class in high school.
So you're telling me you and Garrett have similar digestive systems?
No. Garrett just researched the paper with me. It was like a group. It was a group thing, and I'm like, Garrett, we're gonna do this rare family disease that we have, and get an A on it. We got a 98 on it on that paper. So for the record, I probably lost this to 2 points. But anyway,
it's related to your cold hands also?
It's funny you say that. The doctor I went to, there's one guy who's like a
happens to be in New Jersey.
And when he dies, my family's basically screwed because he's the only one that really knows about this.
Yeah,
he had said that there's a link between patients that have this and how my hands used to turn like white. It was called like Raynaud's, and there's like a high prevalence connection between the two for whatever reason. So it's not unrelated, but
wow.
Family members of mine have had issues with this. Like my cousins have had it pretty severely. My sister's had it. My mom, my grandma, like the women usually have it more, and I've never had any real issue with it. I maybe had some minor discomfort, which could have been it, but I never really clicked that it was it. But like this very much could have been caused by that. Unfortunately, my doctors in the hospital didn't like ask me to. Yeah, I now I know I should have them contact this other doctor going forward. But you know, it very well could have been that. Hopefully, I won't have another attack that like this that I'll.
It's kind of
crazy. So I probably do have to get some like I had to go in for like some stomach tests and everything just to make sure it's not any sort of chronic disease, but they don't think it is. So hopefully I'm through the woods here.
Okay, so you'll still be good for some B-dubs on Thursday then.
Yeah, I definitely am not going to push the amount of wings I eat. Like you'd ask Scott and Shabir, I went with them to Chili's like a week when they asked everyone if they were around to hang out. The three of us wound up going to Chili's, and
Silver's supposed to be coming.
Yeah, and Silver's bailed. So the three of us went. We were going to go Chili's and bowling. But bowling was actually like a 2.5-hour wait this time. We called two different places.
That same place. Damn.
Pretty crazy, right? 2.5 hours at two places. And that was at like 9 o'clock. So we wound up bailing on the bowling. But yeah, the appetite has not fully come back. I'm not really drinking. I had a glass of wine at dinner on Friday, but I'm just not really pushing with the alcohol. It's just not worth it right now, so. So you know, baby's coming in a month. So take it easy.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, no, I'll do what I have to do to carry the podcast forward. It's okay. I'm glad. So, but you have confirmed that the pipes in your house, they work okay. Everything goes down.
Everything goes down. That has not been a problem in that. So.
Okay. Yeah, I would have thought maybe like Shooting Star, somebody would have had to take a bathroom break and you know, put it to the test, but.
No one was pushing the limits. Well, let's talk about this because both of us felt the same way, like in real time and afterwards. I think because we debriefed while we were drinking that night and then the next morning as well. I just think we may have
felt to me.
You know, not enough. Too many people making jokes. It's actually this. I noticed this. It's the same combination that used to wreck our manager. Just sitting next to each other. That they're making jokes the whole time. The two of them were making jokes at the Shooting Star's expense. The Wiser was still pretty competitive in the whole thing.
Non-drinker, you know. It's always tough.
Right, for sure. So, you know, Corey wasn't there either. Corey's usually a pretty big, like, element of Shooting Stars, in my opinion. You know, he takes it seriously. He brings it up a notch.
You know, Trevier's lost his touch now. He's, you know. I think he's going to be on the, I guess similar to you now, you know, he's healing for a period. So, yeah, I don't know.
Right. That's and he's usually a pretty good participant.
No Elon this year, you know.
No Elon. Well, I think last year was the first year Elon ever came. to be honest.
Was it the first year? Yeah.
Maybe at Trevier's house that one time. The whole thing's hard when people can't, like, you know, we had a lot of debate whether it should be at my house or Trevier's. I think we chose wrong, maybe. I think it really should have been somewhere where half the group could have, like, you know, publicly accessed and gone home easily. And not have to worry about, like, a 40-minute car ride home. Maybe that was part of it. You know, the days of the sleepover were always better, too, or if everyone was living nearby.
No, it's hard. Actually, you know why I did it work. It's because Scott came. Of course, Scott.
That's actually very true. And I was concerned about this in advance.
It's a shame he's not listening.
It's not that it was his performance. It's just that the vibes, his vibes are not All-Star Saturday vibes, you know?
Yeah, it was never his scene, you know? He didn't know what he was doing. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I'll make sure. Good. Next year will be Allie's 35th birthday, so hopefully they'll go away for the weekend.
Yeah, we'll book them a room for the night.
Yeah. Also, on my fault, there should have been a TV downstairs. If there was a TV downstairs, I think it would have, you know. Okay, we need a couch. The whole situation just needed more hang vibes.
I already gave you a table, Paul. I tried to give you a couch, and you know you refused to take it.
I know so, you and Duran tried to give me couches. Actually,
well, what can we do for you?
Mm-hmm. I know how it is.
I have a TV in here too. You know, we could have given you everything.
I get it. That's fair. So anyway, it was fun to see everybody. So regardless, it was nice to have
Barrett up. It's a nice gathering. Yeah. I don't know. Now the weddings are done. I don't know. We don't have any more, group events on the calendar.
Skippy. Yeah. Which is shocking. Scott was already beginning to plan, you know, our next group, you know, guys getaway at your bachelor party. He was starting to talk about it, that we need to do this something every year. So, TikTok's got, maybe he is the problem. You know, usually he's planning New Year's 5 months in advance. He didn't really do it this year. The same way that you are, and maybe this is our transition back to the fantasy side of things, the same way that you were kind of, though made fun of for it, the heart of the league to some degree, Ira. Scott may have been the heart of group nonsensical plans, and you know, his failings there have led us astray.
It's possible. Yeah, I do think he's I think we broke him to a degree. He no longer has the gusto to step up and make a plan happen. But the summer, we still have time till the summer, so. I think it's on the calendar. Certainly doable for me. We'll see how you are with two children in the house. If you're
probably not going to be super easy for me, but you know, for another like 6 months or so, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's nice to get on the podcast again. Cause we had a rough week in this household. Leanna got COVID. We were on lockdown, but thankfully it was a very late case. So, and somehow I didn't get it this time. Which is like amazing. Last time I had it, she didn't get it, and yeah,
that's wild.
Now she gets it. I don't get it. Yeah, so I think the couch helped my back a little bit for the week. So you know, that's been one plus out of the situation.
Okay, pretty good.
Yeah, so I'll take that. Not running again yet, but feeling a little better. Could be good for fantasy playoffs. Actually, I think the couch lifestyle kind of just makes it easier to jump on the laptop. I was finding.
Yeah, you know, I am thinking like you know. Amy's, you know, now in the ninth month of pregnancy and starting to not sleep so well. So maybe I'll just tell her, like, hey, if you're up for like 3 o'clock, just like hit me on the back. that was a poor choice of words. Hit me on the back.
Yeah, what did that
out. Yeah, you know, get me up for ad drops.
I do have this could be a question for the rules committee. So during the playoffs this year, I'm. During the finals, assuming I get there, knock on wood, I'll be in flight, like basically like during the day on Saturday of the championship. So I'm not sure it'll come to this, but it's crossed my mind. I might need to like give my credentials to somebody else to you know manage the roster on my behalf. And well,
there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. So co-managers are accepted. Okay.
Yolanda's been my co-manager for over a decade, Ira.
I assume he ran this season, right?
What's that? Well, naturally. much like Casey ran Dan's team in his triumphant run to seventh place last year. So
sixth place. That was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago.
Maybe. Yeah.
I've been updating the record book, so you know it's if you can finish second place, Paul, you'll match Garrett in the average finish. First place, you pass him. So yeah, we'll see. A lot of records up for grabs. Justin's playoff streak continues amazingly.
It's pretty bad that no one took him out this year, right?
It would have been nice.
The only person who wanted to be taken out of the playoffs more than you this year was Justin, and it still didn't happen. And he had such a bad start. Yeah. He had a bad start. He had no roster, and again, he didn't even make. I feel like his moves were not as crazy as in past years, right? Is that accurate?
Well, definitely with the move cap, I mean, you can only go so far. I mean, the guy's at, I think, 159 now. So, I mean, he's going to finish under 190 for the season. He traded away guys, I believe, to I think it was John's team he made a deal with.
And yet, here he sits over 100 wins in third place in the championship bracket. So, I guess let's take a look at the championship bracket, Ira. The 3-6 game is going to be Eric versus Justin, and John, the winner will face me. I think I lucked into a nice bracket there, Ira. You tell me if I'm wrong. And Duran versus John, the winner will face you. What are your first impressions of this first round matchups?
The fact that Eric still got there, you know, I mean, we didn't even mention that, but I mean, I give him a clobbering in the final week, but he finished at 500. 88, 88, and 4, which is a very low performance for a playoff team by our league history standards.
Just so people know, normally it's a 58% win percentage gets you into the playoffs. It's like that's generally the cut. 58% is usually good.
58%? Well, I'd say that's a good. That's an upper seed usually. 52%.
Am I off?
Yeah, it's more like a 52%, 52.5%.
Okay,
is a. Usually, like around the cut line.
Sorry, maybe I'm thinking like the safe. There have been years where it's been very competitive, and like 580 was like 580 is basically if you get to 580, you're good. Being 500 is pretty much unheard of though. To being that low to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor ended up finishing 4 games back of him. I mean, Garrett did nothing, and you know was what 12 games back. For Eric to make it, I mean, his team's actually like. All right, but it's getting wiped out by injuries at this point. So,
right,
I was kind of thinking that he had a decent chance for Justin, especially when you account for, you know, Justin had traded away a few guys. Like he gave up D'Angelo Russell, he gave up PJ Washington to John. So, I mean, there was an opportunity to knock him off. But I mean, Eric now is without Tyrese Halliburton tonight. He's without Miles Turner tonight. Luka's out. So, I mean, I think those are probably his 3 best players.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to stay afloat, especially because you know Justin's gonna use all 10 moves this week. Justin also is the number one waiver priority, which doesn't make any sense to me how that's possible. But there he sits with the number one waiver priority.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Justin's team is so scary, but I don't know. I mean, I guess he picked up Nikola Vucevic. You know, there was a couple of trades there that we saw Vucevic go from Andrew to Paul, and then Paul dealt Vucevic for Donovan Mitchell.
It was the same trade. It was a 3-way trade. The 3 of us talked about it in a chat.
You said that I took the gusto out of the league, but you guys didn't even announce that it was a 3-way deal.
Was that clear?
I don't think you guys made any announcement that it was a 3-way deal.
I told Garrett 3-way. So I texted Garrett that a 3-way trade was incoming, but we handled it in a way that both trades were very clearly Conley Accords compliant. So maybe it just didn't come across. They were like both instantly done, weren't they? I mean,
they might have been like the same day, but it wasn't like at the same time.
You know what? I haven't been like the figurehead of the 3-way trade in a long time. So I guess I forgot that it's kind of the responsibility of someone to announce it for fun.
906 and then 959. So, I mean, it was very close to one another, but
yeah,
no, I did not realize, I guess I should have realized actually, considering it was 45 minutes apart, that had been prearranged, but yeah. So yeah, I mean, just the team. Yeah. We're talking about I don't know. So Sabonis and Vucevic. It's a nice 1-2 combo. He's got Scottie Barnes and Jeremy Grant, who nobody wanted to trade for. And yeah, then it's a bunch of waiver wire guys. I don't know. I mean, you know, some guys are hot. Jordan Clarkson, if he comes back, you know. Yeah, these guys aren't that good. So, you know, hopefully he can push you a little bit in the semis, assuming if that's the matchup, Paul. But this is a weak playoff team any way you slice it and dice it.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty sick. You know, my luck in the playoffs, you know, someone's going to go down probably. You know, hopefully I can stay healthy enough and make the finals and give you a run for your money, because I think that's where it's heading, Ira, on your side of the bracket as well. I think John's team,
as John
thinks it is. And Duran, we've talked all year about how Duran has talent. We just got to see if he could string it together in playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already a little – I mean, this matchup already, like, nobody's made any moves going into it, which is a little – I'd say it's a little bit of a bad sign. I mean, if you look at Duran's roster, there's a lot of red going up and down it. So, I mean, Jalen Brunson, I think the Knicks only played twice this week. And
by the way, I
am playing one.
Your favorite pet peeve, though, and talk about poor management in the playoffs, okay? Duran right now has John Morant sitting in his IL plus spot with an injury note. Okay. Although, did he say that he was having issues moving him to the injury spot?
He did say that, but it might have just taken, I think he probably like hit the week mark where he was out.
Maybe what he didn't realize is he has to move Aaron Gordon, who no longer out of the IL spot. Maybe that's his problem.
Yeah. Well, for Monday, it doesn't really matter unless you like want to drop Aaron Gordon.
So actually, I'll tell you what, that's probably exactly what's happened here. For Aaron Gordon, and it rejected the move because Aaron Gordon is not any sort of injured. What he should have done is one of these eight out or game time players into the IL plus spot, then move Ja to the IL spot. Duran, if you're listening, that's free advice for you there. He has Keldon Johnson on a game time decision. Like, nice player, scoring a lot, but like, if he's not going to play, it's the playoffs, man. Time to go. Shangoon is out. Wood is out.
Yeah, Wood is out. That was unexpected.
Oh. He's also had a reduced role in the past week. Is that correct? I mean, his minutes are
more down than a week. Yeah, since Kyrie came.
You don't need all these guys who just scores. I mean, you know, you gotta. It's the playoffs now. It's time to go. But yeah, he has three guys with outs, and he has three guys with game time decision. That's just a recipe for disaster in the playoffs.
Yeah,
especially if you're not properly met.
No, I think he's in trouble. I mean, and not that like John's team. John's team has gotten a little healthier. I wouldn't say that, you know, it's a murderer's row, but it's fairly healthy. LeBron's out. I'm not sure why Bogdanovich is still really here, but I guess, you know, maybe John doesn't even need to bother replacing him at this point. But everyone else is healthy.
But again, D'Angelo Russell sitting in the IL plus spot. He played on March 12th and March 10th. What is he doing in that spot? You have Dame in a game time decision and Bogdanovich as injured. Move, if you're going to have Bogdanovich on your roster, at least move him to the IL plus spot, no?
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I do see that the next day John has Kevin Love in there, so he might just not be taking his opponent seriously. And to be honest, I think John is happy. Yeah. He thinks he has.
Kevin Love also does not have any sort of injury, so he's going to have an illegal roster, no?
Well, he can't make moves, basically. As long as he's in that spot.
Yeah, so why do you want to hamstring yourself when you have actual options in the playoffs? It doesn't make sense. John probably is being cocky, and he's like, I'm going to hold on to these guys. When I
face Ira,
it's the – you know how John is. It's the perfect squad. It's what leads you to be competitive and not stuck in 11th place for the entire season like he has been for the last 5 or 6 years. But it's that same – there's always tomorrow thought process that has no place in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's and John does have there's some pieces here. I'll say definitely, especially with Duran's team so down, John is clearly like the third best squad, or what he might argue second best squad. Maybe he thinks he's better than you. Because
he does. He was very clear on All Star Saturday that he thinks he's better than me, and he's not afraid of my team. Even though I beat him in our did I beat him in our matchup? I think I beat him in our matchup. So Anyway.
Yeah. He's got Dame. Steph is back. D'Angelo Russell's playing. Anthony Simons is back, apparently. You know, Brooke Lopez. I mean, I think he had like a 10-block game last week. So, I mean, if he could do 9 blocks, excuse me. But, if, you know, if Brooke can drop a, you know, 15 blocks in a week, he might even be able to beat me in blocks. So,
yeah, I mean, that when you and I played, you had the same kind of pop-off. 7 blocks in a game that week. That's all it takes to win blocks, really, is two guys with monster games, and that's it. It's game over. Like, it's really that simple with blocks. And it happens.
Yeah, no, the playoffs are crazy. And it's the beauty. It's the beauty and the sick reality you see in head-to-head playoffs. But yeah, I mean, I think it looks like John's gonna get through this. I would say versus Duran, unless Duran's team suddenly finds, you know, some quick health that it definitely does not have at the moment. And then yeah, I mean, it could be interesting having a John Ira semifinals. John's come close to taking me down before. And you know, I do think last week, I think you and John might have beat me. So, yeah, there's some high stat capability in this team. Should be interesting, but,
look,
I'm definitely prepared for the matchup.
I think 5 of the 6 managers in the playoffs are mentally prepared to like focus. Duran, maybe not, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I think at least here are ready to try to win, and their teams are probably maybe Justin's team isn't good enough, but I never count Justin out anymore. He finds his way, and the fantasy gods obviously love him. So you know, there are teams that things break the right way. You know, any team could win both percentages and turnovers in a week in the playoffs. You know, and then you just need two categories to fall your way, and that's it. So
this is true. This is very true.
You know, it's the margins aren't as crazy as people think. And even our teams that are dominant in the standings may not be as dominant in reality as some of the top teams in the past years have been. Often, so you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I do have the second best regular season performing team of all time in my hands. So hopefully I can pull it out. But, you know, we saw what happened to the last guy who was, you know, that good. So, yeah. And I think you've always wanted it. It's been a whimper of a season. But if Paul was able to take down Justin in the semis, take down me in the finals, I mean, I think that would be the storybook championship he always dreamed of. It would be a magical moment.
I've been thinking it will be magical for me. I will finally, you know, crack open my giant champagne
all over my body.
Man, can you imagine if I have like my child's bris and my championship celebration on the same day?
Wow, yeah, that'd be a sight.
that could be wild, you know? Oh man. But I've been thinking about it. It would be sad that it would
slice it off when you slice the champagne off, you know, you could see it now.
It would be a bit in this downer year. Like even I have to agree, this year felt different. You know, The bottom six teams really just
Sure. Do you want to talk about them a bit, or
let's talk about that.
It's now time. It's the end of the season. I think we gave people plenty of time to come around. You know, it might be the same issues that impacted All Star Saturday. You know, it's just that maybe we're getting to the age where people just don't have Don't have the minimal time commitment to make it engaging, and I don't know. It's oh man. By the way, I just switched from his whiskey to his beer. So
I don't know. I'm just drowning the league sorrows here. You know, it's just kind of yeah. So we need some time for this segment.
As long as you're not drinking vodka, that to me. So I think my favorite podcast moment of all time will just be when Ira like. The year was like the worst trade deadline ever, and Ira had me come over to his apartment, and like I sit down and he just pours the giantest pour of vodka. I'm like, dude, we're drinking vodka, and he's like, yeah, it's happening. So like,
good red, yeah. You know, it's not good. Red. I mean, I don't know. I felt back then there was something to salvage. Now you know, I just I you know I don't know. I just feel like. It's, I don't know. I feel like I can't bring the league back to where I want it to be. It's really, what I saw at the last manager's meeting was a disappointing display of, you know, interest in fantasy basketball and what it could do for this group. And, you know, we watched the new rules come into being and watched the season play out. You know, I mean, we saw Dan make 17 moves for the season. Yeah, his record was, I guess, okay, relatively.
I mean, I don't imagine someone who made 17 moves in a season.
No, what I'm saying, like, I guess I would just say that, like, I guess, do people just think, like, oh, like, if we put a moves limit in, that'll, you know, bring parity forth? Like,
well, I think it's supposed
that was
to,
the idea, right?
I think it's supposed to bring parity in the playoffs. That was the whole concept, is that it's an issue in the playoffs when people are making 20 moves in a week, which was happening.
I think we'll see
that it, you know, 1.5 moves per day is a little bit more realistic in the playoffs. You know, I actually think it does come down to Conley more. I still think Conley is the right decision because I think it's done what it was supposed to do, which is get people fair value for their guys without so much infighting and fighting. I'm gonna bring this point up now. Was fighting what was saving our league all along?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, as I look at our rundown, I would say, I guess we've only done a couple of pods this year, but like, what's the league narrative? Do we have a narrative? What's the conversation? And I just think, you know, it's...
Well, is that our fault? Is there ever really a narrative unless you and I make up narrative?
I take responsibility that I chose to not put my fullest
attention.
I wasn't interested in bringing the other managers up. You know, let the other managers be how they want to be. You don't want to set your lineups? I'm not going to say nothing. You know, I'm not going to encourage the NBA conversation. You know, if somebody talks to me one on one, I'll participate in the conversation. Happy to do so, but you know, I don't know. Like Corey 23 moves, Levy 16 moves, Garrett 14 moves. You know. Javier tried, and I respect that. Javier made an effort. And what's his reaction to his effort? Well, now the trades are the problem. You know, we have to stop letting trades happen because that's how managers, namely me, does well in the league. So, you know.
Wait. The guy that won, like, 3 championships on the back of Dan Weiser is complaining about trades? In a time where the trades are an all-time fairness and value, he's complaining about trades?
Yeah, that, the guy that was the problem.
Is that really what he's complaining about?
He said he wants to – I believe it was a Super Bowl. He said he wants to bring forth the rule. He was like, I'm going to forget about it by the manager's meeting. But he wants to bring forth the rule, you know, where we cap trades.
Like limit the amount of trades you can make.
Correct.
But there's only so many assets you could give up now.
I mean, that's what the Conley Courts does. But, yes, no, he wanted to cap trades.
That's crazy. Well, no one's going to agree with that, especially if he's proposing it. He's not going to remember, but that's wild.
Hey, well – I don't know. As the way I see it, you and Garrett decided to, you know, party up with this motley crew and, you know, take a thrill out of the league. And yeah, it's a no throws league. It's quiet.
If I recall, you were part of the Conley Accords, Ira, were you not?
I'm not saying the Conley Accords, Paul. But once you put in moves limits, once you show no interest in changing the game up, you know, what do we have left? You know,
show no interest in changing the game up. I've been all about having a quarter quell situation like in the Hunger Games where we ditched this format for a year and just totally mix it up.
Well, you didn't bring forth the proposal at the manager's meeting?
Oh, because I'm a man of theater, Ira, and I need to have it for the actual season that it's going to work. So I'll bring it up this year.
I'm just saying.
You know, but yeah, like, here's the thing. Like, we've joked for years that, like, it's on that stupid coin I made and everyone agreed with it, right? Kind of the tenets of our league are, like, friendship, deal-making, and arguing, right? Like, and if we've kind of now nipped the arguing out of the equation, and it's almost bad. I actually think it's bad for people's participation. It's bad for people's interest. Yes, people are threatening to quit every year, but did they quit? No, because they realize they like being part of it anyway. The apathy that's gone on this season actually has me more concerned about people quitting than the arguing. That's one thing I'll say. Again, I don't think the moves limit caused that. You know, it may have been a side effect of the Conley Accords that there's less fighting, and that's somehow been bad for our league. I don't know what to do with that information, you know?
I mean,
like, should we have a less fair rule because it's better for the league because people will argue more? Like, it's backwards. It's backwards. But like, I think we did the right thing with the Conley Accords. But it does feel like the interest was always driven by these like little conflicts, and that's what made us our league. If people aren't going to, you know, participate, and I don't know, beyond like the draft. Because, like, look, everyone gets juiced up for the draft. Everyone still likes going to manager's meeting. But, like, throughout the year, there seems to be nothing to hold people's interest. Yeah, I wonder if, you know, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe this, like, midseason NBA tournament will have some weird effect on fantasy basketball that allows us to do something fresh.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I'll, yeah. I mean, I think where we're, yeah, I think we're headed for a game change up. That might be what comes next, but I don't know. We'll see. But it's like, I mean, I'm pretty sure some people didn't set their lineups throughout the season, and I could have called them out on it. But yeah, I just
feel like that would not have had a positive effect. Like that wouldn't have been like that kind of arguing. Like they would have just said, okay, fine, you're right, and like they would have taken the hit. Maybe. Like, it wouldn't have had, you know.
And from your perspective, like
Ira, I think you haven't really admitted it, but you now have a job with like more responsibility, right? And
At times, let's see, so like, been slow,
but like, yeah, but like, so I think that's probably impacted, you know, like, had you been bored, you'd probably be like, oh, screw it, let's do a podcast. But I think you've been pretty busy, with things going on, like, you know, so the work bug's impacted you too. Corey's been good for the last few years, his 23 moves or whatever you said he had. I mean, it's almost like a blip at this point. Like, he's actually been one of the better managers the last few seasons, in my opinion. He hasn't always made the playoffs, but he's always been around the playoffs and pretty much trying to make the playoffs. He's made bad decisions.
I mean, he went 12th, 6th, 9th, 12th, and then 6th before that. So I don't know. It's
last season he wound up in 9th.
Last season he was 6th. He made the playoffs last year.
Okay. And then the year before, year before that,
he went 12th this year, 6th last year, 9th. Mm-hmm. And then 12th.
Okay, 9th. What was his win percentage? I think it was probably better than 500.
No, 9th place? No way. I'd be asking a lot. I guess that was the COVID season, 2020. Yeah. 9th place. No, he was 469.
Not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's fine. 9th place, 0.469.
And it wasn't the year that I had him trade out right before he was trying to for the playoffs, and I had him trade out.
Yeah, I guess that would have been 2020. Yeah, yeah, that was the year that you got him to that you somehow convinced him to, to let it go. Yeah, and that's the year that you wound up taking third place.
20th year after the COVID shutdown.
Yeah, 2020 is after the COVID shutdown.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. 2019 is the year that Durant should have won.
Durant should have won. I should have made the playoffs over Andrew, who ended up in third place, and I was in seventh place. Like, it was that whole thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting time for the league. Interesting time for the league. I don't know. I could bring a lot more to the league if I want to, but, you know.
I do think, you know, basically people don't want to upset Garrett. You're a good foil. And I'm a hype man. I didn't do a great job as a hype man this year. You didn't do a great job as a foil. And Garrett's, you know, Garrett seems serious about not wanting to be commissioner anymore, which I don't have no work to do this season.
Well, that's what you know. I think Garrett just has a shtick now where he thinks about quitting every season.
But what caused him to think about quitting this season? And he's going to listen to this, so he can weigh in afterwards.
Wasn't in good shape. I don't know. Because people weren't, I guess, into it enough. So
also, he's taking the blame for not having an engaging enough league. I mean, again, you can only make people do. You can't force people's will. Like, you know, people do have free will here. Like, if they want to be good participants, like I'll still go back. You know what ruined the league? Yahoo's message board sucking. Like, you know, well, actually, let's get really serious here. All right, the iPhone killed fantasy basketball.
Communications jumping to the cell phone realm.
Let's go down.
Communications jump to the cell phone. That's part one. Part two, the app has killed fantasy basketball. We used to all have to log onto the computer, okay? Like now, most people do a good job of just logging in and hitting that button, right? There's no. It used to be you go on your laptop. You go check.
Oh, you had the drop down menu. The box scores
are right there. Let me go check out some box scores. Like, it just it's very easy to do little now. You know,
it's like you click put a little note, you know, and take a look. You get a quick recap of what you need to know.
Right, right. So technology has killed fantasy basketball a little bit. You know, we can't say that Steve Jobs is not responsible for the downfall of our fantasy basketball league.
I don't know, all right, let's
talk about like potential solution. Like I don't really know their solutions. If we talk about format, there's two ways to go. You could go in two different directions. The one I don't really like so much is like the DFS solution, which I think is just like not gonna be fun. If we go to that, everyone's gonna be like, why am I still in this league? I don't care.
I mean, DFS, you gotta put money down. I feel like that's like the only
Yeah, it's just like not gonna be if like our league just turns into like a, you know, every, you know, 3 days a week you pick a daily lineup like that. It's gonna suck. The fun way to do it, though, there's not a lot of infrastructure for it, would be like a salary cap type league. That's also like a dynasty league. I've researched these things. They're kind of out. Like people do them. It does take some work. It might be what you. Because like you could have more of a role of getting shit together. People might enjoy the salary element of the slight more challenge of it. I don't know if it really will though. I don't know. People may think it's too much.
A salary cap is just for drafting, right? And then I don't know, you have like a free agent budget or whatever. And like what's that? It's like a weekly budget or something?
There's all different ways. Like we could at some point we should research this stuff together. But like at the end of the day, they're gonna give us like what they think will make them happier, and at the end of the day, it's all gonna be whims with them, right? Like, you know, they're either gonna try hard in the season or they're not. You know, what's actually the last few years? What's kind of made things still fun is that some of these teams that were not so good were in the race, and that made the whole thing good. This year, none of the unexpected teams really popped.
I guess Duran's, well, wasn't unexpected, but
the last few years also, like, you know,
last couple
like,
years he missed it.
You need one of Levy, Corey, or Dan to be competitive for it to be like a kind of an all hands on deck season.
But tough ask. Levy has.
Is Levy now is Levy like on track to move towards the worst manager?
Yeah, I mean,
Dan's probably still pretty far down there, but
yeah, I mean Dan's still sitting at. I should mention Andrew with an all time. I texted him because even I couldn't like ignore like the fantasy basketball sins that were happening here. Andrew just like didn't set his lineup at all last week. Just he had a busy week. Like I don't think Andrew would ever actually tank because he respects going after it too hard. But like he had basically like eighth place locked up. And because he didn't set his lineups, he lost to Levy. He drops to 10th place, secures like
best lottery odds.
And Garrett landed in 9th place to get like also like 20% lottery odds. And Dan now is at 8th place. But this has a sidebar there that Andrew now is like the leader going into lottery.
Well, in theory, if he only did it for like 1 week, he would only have gotten a warning anyway. So it's not like he would have lost
any sort of benefit. Nobody was being monitored this season, so you know it's not like you can complain now.
No,
but Dan sits at 9.33, and the next person, this is including this season's numbers, Corey's at 8.16. So that's a big gap.
Okay, where's Levy?
Levy is 7.55,
and where's Garrett now?
Garrett is 6.53.
Yeah, he has like one or two good seasons that have held him up.
Garrett doesn't tank out much. I mean, Garrett's had like 1/10 in the last 10 years. He's never been worse than that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Garrett doesn't have like. Oh, actually, no, my bad. I was okay. You're fine. Yeah. Garrett has 2/10 and 11th. Then. Yeah, okay. No,
yeah, Garrett's had a rough like last 5 years besides his championship.
Yeah, I take it back. Yeah, he's had some bad ones. He's had like a 10th and 11th, a 10th, a 10th. Yeah. And you're closing in on him now, Paul. You haven't, I mean, you've had a top 8 season or better for the last 5 years, so that'll do.
Yeah,
it.
Once I became the Pelicans, I really, you know, evolved.
That's true. I heard it's the Bradley Beal connection, you know. That really turned you around.
I hope to test that theory next season, Ira.
This is the redemption title, you know. Let Bradley get one, and then you know.
What is funny is he has been, like, when he's been healthy this year, he's actually been really good. I mean, his turnovers have been a little bit much, but it's not the same issues as last year where he, like, stopped hitting threes and was shooting, like, you know, 35% from the field. Like, he's been nice. Like, he's been passing the ball well. He's been rebounding the ball. He's in the last 5 games, he's had a steal in every game, and he's had one block in each of the last 4 games. He's been a very nice fantasy player this year when he's played.
Yeah, no, he's had a good run down the stretch here for the Wizards, and I think they're one of the few teams that really aren't resting guys, so, which is nice. It's always hard to know how that's going to shake out. But I will say, I mean, I think this cast of characters towards the bottom, I mean, I just think it's a bit of like a shuffle. I mean, like, Levy's, you know, donezo, but, like, we saw Dan has made progress. Corey comes in, Dron comes in, Eric's now
made progress. If Dan could ever draft a competent lineup, I think he's fine.
He's draft, and he's in Europe.
But that's it. He's had decent finishes the last few years, but his drafts are still horrendous. Like,
well, like, Zion's got to go. I mean, just, you know, it's that is not a keeper solution.
He has keepers. He has keepers on his team.
And he's got Bam and Gobert.
You only need two, Ira. You only need two now.
Well, I don't think he has a late keeper. That's another complaint I have for the league. The fact that nobody could pick up Cade Cunningham the entire time, and you just let Justin take him. Like, it's just...
Where was Cade drafted?
4th round, probably. Maybe the 3rd by Corey.
I mean, there's Corey a chance Justin still drops him, and, you know, that problem is not...
I mean, solved. He's in his IL. I don't think he's going to drop him at this point, but... And it's Justin doesn't really have that much on his roster anyway. But, yeah, I think Cade was 3rd round pick by Corey. Tough break, I mean, so, you know.
So he's a 3rd-round pick. I mean, that's not a late keeper.
No, it's not a late keeper, but he's a perfectly good first couple rounds keeper for some of these teams. You got to realize what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at Levy's roster. I mean, it's a little early for keeper analysis. We usually like to do this after the playoffs, but he has Kawhi. Great keeper, in my opinion.
Well, Kawhi turned it on.
Yeah. I still don't know if I want to keep him, you know.
Career.
Well, he's a late keeper. You know, if you recall that whole dispute about Levy refusing to declare him.
Oh, you're right. You're right. All right. So he has Evan Mobley. He has.
He picked up a. No, he has Claxton on the Nets now. So.
As late keeper?
I guess. Well, where's Kawhi? I think he's going to keep Kawhi and then he might keep Claxton.
Well, so this just proves the point. Even Levy has good keepers now. He has Giannis, who. How is Giannis the 138th ranked fantasy player?
Free throws.
But the rankings are just so bad.
I mean, the thing is, it's one stat. I mean, that's why it's, you know, a little. But, I mean, when you shoot 12 free throws and you shoot 65%, I mean, that's that you had no chance at free throws. I mean, just that's what it does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair.
But, yeah. I mean. But yeah, no. I mean, Levy has some pieces, but he didn't make that many trades. He made a trade with me, so he may have a chance next year to make the playoffs. But I don't know. I just say what I'll say. You know, the issue is that they don't have chances to win titles, right? Like the playoffs. I think that was kind of what we discussed. Like playoffs are enough for people, right? So.
Well, that used to be the problem. But some of these managers, like when we talked about this through the years, like some guys just need to make the playoffs. Like Levy just at this point just needs to get back to the playoffs. It's been so long. How are we talking about winning a championship when you haven't gone through the rigors of a playoff? In 5 seasons, like it's just not that it's not easy to just turn that switch on. You've not been competitive.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a different way of managing. Yeah. No arguments there. But well, let's switch it to. I actually have one more thing I forgot to include on the rundown. But on a lighter note, I got to during my COVID lockdown, we were like, all right, like let's like we need to have like a you know a celebratory meal, something to get us through the. The long weekend, we're like, we're not doing jack shit besides going for walks. So I had my first indulgence with a P.F. Chang's over the weekend.
Oh, okay. What do you think? I've only had it once in my life, by the way.
Oh, once in your life. Wow. It's actually very good. I was I was very surprised. And like, I went to pick it up and like, it's like kind of like a nice establishment inside there. Like, I know it's like kind of like a chain, but like there's like an ambiance there. You know, it's like, it's a notch above like the Cheesecake Factory ambiance.
Yeah, like, usually I'd make fun of you for this kind of statement, but I think in the case of P.F. Chang's, you're 100% right. Like, it's totally acceptable Chinese food. Outside of, if you're eating Chinese food outside of New York, New Jersey, it is probably far and away the best Chinese food you could get. Like, it's probably not even close. Besides, well, if you're in California, different story. California, like, has
been outside of like an urban center. Yeah.
Right. Like, it's good. It's good food. It's a little bit different than what you find in a lot of Chinese restaurants, I'd say. Like, there's some differences, maybe.
I never heard of like wonton soup with like, I don't know, they put like chicken in there, they put shrimp in there. And I was like, all right, this is great. But like, I'm not sure how my wonton soup suddenly became like a meat soup, like, but yeah, it was yummy.
A full dish. No shame there. It's definitely worthy.
No, it was a good deal. I got a full sampling. I got the family pack for four. So, you know, I was able to work through that over like a course of 3 days. Got like the beef. Got the some like honey chicken. Did the fried rice. It was.
Did it come with the lettuce wraps? I think they're known for their lettuce wraps.
Yes, Leanna was very keen on those. Those were yummy. Yeah, I don't know what they did with the beef in there, but it was nice. I liked it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise for me. I was kind of expecting, I don't know, I was really something like more like I guess like subpar, like fast foody. But you know, I felt like a good like B's level like chain restaurant meal, you know.
So, yeah, no, it's definitely, I'd probably say it's probably better than Applebee's quality wise.
Well, different kind of quality, but yeah.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think that's all I have in life right now, though. Everything else is quiet. Just getting ready for my march to the sternum.
Yeah. Well, look, I got my playoff. Maryland's in the tournament, so I do have something to watch. I'm trying to come to B-dubs, but, you know, Joey's out of school today. I'm onboarding someone at work. I don't know if it's going to happen. Because, you know, also I'm on the West Coast. She's on the West Coast hours, so I only have, you know, a certain amount of available hours. Noon is always hard anyway. Like, if it was a 3 o'clock game, I'd be like, let's go. This 12:15 nonsense is going to be tough because I always have, like, meetings at 12. It's a busy work week in general. I don't know. I got to make a decision tomorrow.
Okay, so, and it's an awkward time. And basically, I took the whole day off. And I'm going to B-dubs because, like, it's such smack dab in the middle of my day.
Well, John and I have done it before. Like, last year we did it. It was really fun. We actually brought our laptops. I just don't think – last year I also didn't have, like, these, like, meetings in the middle. Like, I didn't have so many meetings last year at this time. I was just starting – was I starting my new job? No, I was still at my last job. So I was kind of do whatever I wanted to, and it was fine. It's not going to be so simple this year. So it's a shame.
Yeah, well, let's make it round two, and I'm happy to cut loose over the weekend. Much easier. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyway, all right. We'll see what happens in these playoffs. I'm looking forward to a few good showdowns. Yeah, don't worry. I'll be there at 3 a.m. even if you guys aren't. So, you know, I'll keep the clock churning on Eastman's of the big boy years. And I need to get my Wi-Fi situation in place for Canada. Or else it could be fucked on Saturday.
So this trip is to Canada that you're going to? Championship week?
South Korea. So I'll be on a plane.
This is the honeymoon part two trip. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I'll be on a plane
for 48 hours. And it seems like the flights, you can't see until like 5 days out, but like some planes have Wi-Fi and some planes don't. And like, so it's all very, like, I should be okay because, like, it's all basically, like, during the day moves that would matter. But, like, so basically there's, like, injuries or something that I need to, like, you know, like address.
On the way to San Francisco last time, we were supposed to have Wi-Fi, and they're, like, they announced it as we got on the plane, like, it's not working, sorry. On the way back, it was the trade deadline. Just in case something happens. I think I went ahead and bought it. So I'm like, I need to have this just in case something goes down. But I was fortunate enough to get my deal with Andrew and Justin done prior to that. Yeah, that three-way deal, like, it was like 8 in the morning for me when we started. Justin texted me, like, all right, let's do something. And he's like, I told him what I wanted. He said what he wanted. It was actually like the one of the best trade negotiations ever. No one was over the top trying to hold out. even I was like not being my normal self, where I'm like, you know, I didn't have time to negotiate with eight people and like and drive down the price. It was like Justin said, here's where I'm not budging. I'm like, all right, well, he's like, should we get Andrew involved? Sure. Andrew's like, okay, what do we need to do? I put together like basic terms pretty quickly, and they're like, all right, how do we execute it? And I'm like, here's how it's done. They're like, let's do it. It was all done within like a half hour. It was pretty smooth. Once he started going. Anyway.
We should discuss something. You reminded me. We should discuss the one big trade that did happen during the deadline, the Andrew Duran swap.
I don't even remember it. Okay, let's recap it for everybody who I assume do not remember it also.
You basically need to follow our YouTube feed in order to follow this trade. So Andrew gave up Ja Morant. There's a lot. Before everything happened, he gave up Ja Morant, Jimmy Butler, Walker Kessler, Alperen Sengun, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and an 8th and 13th rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Got back a 3rd rounder, a 5th rounder, and Devin Booker. So that was basically the deal.
Well, former Rutgers killer Malachi Branham's in there too.
Well, yes, excuse me. Yes. I'm sure, big name. I'm sure Andrew's very excited to drop him after the deal happened.
John Collins is in there too. Remember when he was good?
Yeah, I feel bad for that guy. He needs to get off Atlanta already. But I don't know. Maybe Dennis Lindsay will be able to salvage him. But yeah, no, the John Morant era comes to an end. Perfect timing. That was really impeccable.
Am I seeing right that Andrew gave up a 3rd and a 5th round pick? No, he got the 3rd and 5th round pick.
That's correct. He got the 3rd and 5th round pick with Devin Booker.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's funny because Andrew could have had Devin Booker before and now has Devin Booker back.
How is this trade compliant?
Compliant? What, you mean with the picks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all good.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay, the picks are all legal. 5th for 13th and 3rd for 8th.
Oh, Andrew got Devin Booker as his keeper.
Oh, you mean each player needs to get a...
This should have been broken down further. Yeah.
Is the rule that every pick needs a player? Or every player needs a pick
This is where it's complicated here. Every player that's essentially bought.
That is not being...
So if you're the bad manager, which Andrew is in this case, right? If you're getting rid of players for non-keepers, there needs to be an exchange of value. However, if you're getting a keeper...
Could there be multiple players for a keeper?
Well, that's why this is confusing, right? Because, like, obviously Devin Booker's his keeper. What did Andrew trade for Devin Booker? What's the argument that he traded for Devin Booker? You can't disaggregate it here. And again, this is probably, you know, you and I probably weren't engaged enough on this. But, like, if the trade for Devin Booker was Ja Morant... Okay.
Like, I mean, it could have been like, you could say, I mean, I guess you could say what, you could be like, oh, it was Ja, Sengun, and Dinwiddie.
Ja, Sengun, and Dinwiddie for Booker, straight up. And then the Butler and Kessler ones were purchases.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be the argument, right?
I guess that would be the argument.
Something like that. I mean, you know, you could swap it around and be like it was.
I think in the future, we just need to break those trades down so that it's clear. Because if there's an issue with the keeper swap, then, like, people have the right to veto that piece of it.
That's a tough one. I mean, that's like a common accords need a little more language to really.
No, I don't think any language is going to help. If it's a 5-player trade, it just needs to be broken into a smaller trade.
Right. But, like, your interpretation of what's fair value might be different than
no, but the point is, it's not even, you can't even like discuss it here, right? So like that's obviously what happened. It's that Devin Booker is
it's a 3-for-1.
Okay, then there's two, and then there's so then just break it down into what's the keeper trade, and then what are the player purchases here. There needs to be some commentary around this. I mean, it's pretty challenging to understand.
I mean, but theoretically, there could be 3-for-1 trade that you would say.
But I think, I think a Conley Accords valid deal is not subject to us complaining about it. Like this one could just easily be complained about. So just to avoid that, just like break it down.
So you don't you think Conley Accords wise that no deal could be stopped because the value for the keeper doesn't make sense?
No, that's 100% right. If it's a 1-for-1 deal, right? It's a 1-player-for-1-player deal with pick swap. The Conley Accords outlines exactly what the fair value is, depending on what pick you trade.
You mean if it's a garbage player for good player, and then pick swap?
Right. That's unvetoable, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. If you meet the pick values, correct. Yeah.
But on the flip side, a trade for a keeper, in theory, if someone did something bogus, like okay, what if the trade here was Andrew traded Walker Kessler and Alfred Sengun for Devin Booker? That we'd all want to veto that, wouldn't we? If it was Kessler, Sengun, and Dinwiddie for Booker, wouldn't we all veto that?
Yeah, man. Because
my point being, he could have traded Kenny Martin Jr. and it could have been Kenny Martin Jr. and a third for Jimmy Butler and an eighth. See what I'm saying? So anyway. just break it down to make it more clear. That's all I'm saying. I have no problem with the trade.
Strange deal. Strange. I don't know. Andrew's team's.
Well, Andrew, you know how Andrew works. Every year, or at least every other year, he offloads some guys that are conventional wisdom good, for like slightly less valuable players or slightly more valuable players, because he hates the guys on his team. I don't even know why he had Jimmy Butler. You know he's going to trade him. Andrew can't go a season without trading away Jimmy Butler.
Well, I might as well. Just amazing. Nobody else could. I don't know, give more for these guys. But it's amazing nobody wants to keep Walker Kessler. Like, I don't know. You would have thought somebody out there would want to keep that guy in, like, the ninth round.
Ninth round, yeah. I don't see why not.
Anyway, yeah, this has been an Up and Down podcast. We've covered a lot of ground and a lot of basketball chatter.
Yeah.
I respect anybody that hung in there with us.
Yeah, it's funny. We got to lubricate ourselves with the normal conversations first and then get to the fantasy. Then the juices are flowing by that point. It's hard to just go, you know, you need some foreplay before you get into it, Ira.
Maybe. And as long as my juices don't flow how yours did the other week, you know.
Amen to that. I think we could all agree there. Anyway, good talking to you as always, Ira. We'll probably do one of these at the end of the season. If I'm the champion, we'll definitely do another one of these. We'll probably do a live video stream.
You'll be doing that John Morant video stream if you're the champion.
Oh, that's not my gun.
Anyway, thanks for listening. If anyone actually listened to this, based on what's gone on in the league this year, probably no one did. Maybe John. But so thanks, John.
Make it through? What do you mean?
Without making fun of Justin?
Oh, that just crossed my mind. That's funny. I was thinking, like, did we actually, like, take any shot throughout the podcast?
I don't think so.
I mean, I complained a little bit about people not doing enough to stop Justin. But
that's not, no, we always, that's every podcast we do that. I mean, come on. I think we did pretty good.
Well, I guess it just took Justin, you know, throwing a season away to, you know, finally, not be the brunt of the podcast.
Honestly, I think we're just out of practice. Like, this is your fault again. We got to get you, like, rejuvenated. We're just sending you to, like, a spa over the summer. We're going to get you rejuvenated, you know. You're gonna unwind. You're gonna be like, you know what? I'm just gonna rededicate myself to the league next year, and bring enough. You've had like 6 years of negative energy about this league. Can you just maybe bring some positive energy? Some positive energy next year.
I've been pretty positive this season. What's not been positive?
You've been fake positive, Ira. you've been the fake. Like, well, yeah, you know it's fine. Like, no one's gonna care. I'm not gonna care either. That's the fakest positive vibes I've ever heard of.
Well, yeah, I'm just matching what I'm getting back. You know, I'm mirroring the league. No, but, you know, I'd love to see some people show up for the Rangers meeting. That's classic.
This is why you did not make cross-country captain, Ira, because that's
– Whoa. Oh, come on.
Fucking that's your follower, follower mentality. You don't say this is what people are getting back. You have to set the mindset for the rest of the league, and they will mirror you, you know?
Well, yeah, hopefully.
At the very least, I go how you go, and I can radiate more. But if you're not going to put anything out, what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't generate energy out of nothing. I need someone else to bounce off of. You know, I'm a hype man.
I was trying to fall on the sword this season. I thought that's what the league needed, somebody else's time to shine.
But you didn't fall on the sword. You're in first place all season. You're the second best record of all time.
That wasn't the plan. I mean, whatever. You guys let the players fall. And I took, and I, you know, you gave me a low-hanging fruit. I took the fruit. I tried to trade for Jokic. I tried to trade for Luka.
You tried trading me all your injury-prone players for Jokic. Give me a break.
I'm about to beat your ass in the championship. I mean, come on.
It still would have been a bad trade.
I would have won your sternum, but whatever. Yeah, it's all good.
No, because you wouldn't have given up enough still. You would have kept your picks and used those to get back into the playoffs. I know you. You can't help yourself.
Yeah, that's one of the arbitrage crap. Nah. I would have been happy to go into the sunlight.
Sunset. Very different theories here. Firing off into the sunlight.
Oh, you know, for me, that was kind of, you know, I needed my refuge from, you know, the hostility I saw in this league. Are we doing manager's meeting after playoffs? Is it happening?
We should.
All right, that's fine with me. Do it in the summer. Things are warmer. People have a little more free time, maybe. Yeah. Get on the books.
I don't even think anyone, like, has anyone been active enough to complain about anything in the season?
Chimera was ready to go. Chimera had, like, a record moves high for him, probably 2010. So, you know, I think Chimera's ready to probably run for commissioner at this point.
His team stunk. Dude, maybe draft someone.
He drafted the all trash team and it played like trash. I mean,
he does it every year. He just gets guys that are funny.
Well, it was a good bit this year. I'll give him that. I mean, he went all the way in, so you know, you gotta respect the process. But he was the one turnaround team this year.
And he missed the playoffs. In literally the easiest year to make the playoffs in the last decade.
Well, he did everything but actually pull the trigger on like one or two trades, and then
So instead of bitching about everyone else making trades, just make a trade. There's plenty out there to have. We're talking about these bottom teams that all have keeper options now. Like you could have made moves with these guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, this is true. I don't know. It was a lot of trash teams, and there wasn't much out there. Like Levy had a few guys.
That's what I'm saying. If his team was so good, then make the playoffs. Like, yeah. He's in the playoffs.
Nothing. Yeah.
Durant didn't make any moves. He's in the playoffs.
Oh, he made the big trade with Andrew.
Well, sorry,
he
didn't. That boom. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was more just like an over the topper. He went for.
And he's still in fifth place. Like, that's my point. If you wanted to make the playoffs this year, you could have made the playoffs. It's not that hard.
Oh, no. This is definitely the year to make the playoffs if somebody wanted to make the playoffs. But, I mean, yeah, Garrett watched it all season two. He was like, I had a 5-game winning streak. Well, yeah, he had a 5-game winning streak. He did nothing with it. I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Whatever.
500 to make the playoffs, Ira. 500 to make the playoffs. It's ridiculous.
And you'd be facing a crap Justin team right now. A crap Justin team. And then you get Paul, who, that guy has never done anything in the playoffs. I mean,
I made finals, Ira. I've come top three.
You made semifinals. You got in third places. That's when you
made the finals.
Right. You made the finals one time. Back in
2009. 2010? 2009.
2008, but yeah, just counting. What a year. What a year.
Turning out I was saying when I lost. Or when it sunk in that I was going to lose. I was really upset.
Yeah, back when Shabir was winning stardoms, you know, so it's a long time ago. But, all right, let's get out of here.
All right.
The league will be what the league will be. Let's finish this up in the next 3 weeks in these playoffs. Hash out a manager's meeting. What are we on, like? I don't fucking know. 13? Might be unlucky 13.
Yeah, I think I still like some minutes.
Yeah, what else is new? Yeah, it was me that failed to bring the light to the league. Yeah.
No, in my defense, I'm always ready to go.
Maybe you should just unlock the minutes, Paul. Let somebody else, you know, be able to edit them, you know, but have this problem.
And you're going to fucking make it shady, Ira, and you're gonna put in bogus commentary. Like, you just last time you had access.
Bogus commentary? I mean, accurate notes. I'm the league historian, whether or not the league likes it. That's basically where we're at. So, whatever. It's all documented in my power rankings and my IP addresses at this point, you know, and team previews. So, yeah.
You know, if you never stopped doing the power rankings, I think we'd still be in pretty good shape. That was a big commitment. It's a big yo. Oh wait, we'll take this offline. An idea just came to my head. All right.
Later.
Thanks for listening, the two of you.
Bye, boys.
Bye.